You're listening to Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The wealth gap between black and white people in the United States is no secret, but our guest says that all the explanations we had for the wealth gap, like education differences, savings differences, they don't always hold true.
First, even though today's young people are surrounded by more political news than ever before, there's a growing trend that's causing concern for some. Despite that exposure to politics, millennials just don't seem to be interested in actually running for office. It's got a lot of people in the political world asking why.
Our next guest wanted to get to the bottom of that question. To do so, surveyed nearly 800 graduate students at some of the most prestigious government and law colleges in the nation. So these are people you'd think, hey, they're prime candidates to run for office. They had a clear consensus. They're passionate about making a difference in the world, but feel like politics isn't the best way to do that.
Shauna Shames joins us now. She's an assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University, Camden, and the author of Out of the Running, Why Millennials Reject Political Careers and Why It Matters. Shauna, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
When you started this research, you had a different question that you were asking. You were looking into why more women and people of color don't run for office. But then you realized this question wasn't the question you should go after. There was something bigger here. What happened? How did your research change?
So what I was doing first was gathering information on men as well as women. And my thought there was, well, I need to have something to compare the women to. And my initial interest was in the low numbers of women interested in running for office. The more I studied this topic, the more I wondered if race might have something to do with it as well as gender. So I expanded the topic. But when I started collecting the data and actually looking through and talking to, you know, doing the actually talking to people thing that we occasionally do as research scientists, right? What I realized is that I had it wrong. It wasn't men versus women. It certainly wasn't black versus white or Hispanic. That there were not that many people who really wanted to run for office at all. So my control group was not at all a control group. And I should talk about that bigger, the bigger question, the bigger trend that I was finding. It was one of my dissertation advisors said, well, you should make the bug the program.
So you sat down for these interviews. What were these Harvard graduate students in the Kennedy School and Harvard Law and your alma mater, by the way, what were they telling you?
So first of all, I want to say what a wonderful group of kind of idealistic and optimistic young people these were. There's a stereotype of millennials as being kind of self-obsessed or selfie-taking, and I'm sure there is plenty of that. But if you only look at social media, you get a very biased view of millennials. This is such a bright and thoughtful and caring group of people that I talked to, that I was very impressed with their kind of desire to make a difference in the world. But also as a political scientist, I started getting not only impressed, but somewhat depressed about their kind of negativity about the actual act of running for office. And the more I listened to them, the more I thought, well, it makes sense. It's not an irrational thing. It's a very rational set of reasons that they have for not wanting to run. But boy, it bummed me out.
Well, some of the reasons were caught my attention. One was the ick factor.
Right.
What's the ick factor?
All right. So if you think about the role of money in campaign funding and the way that we do campaigns, first of all, most countries in the world, I think most democracies think we are nuts for the way that we fund our campaigns, that individual candidates have to basically set up a money gathering business. And that's most of what a campaign is in this country. There were two big problems that my interviewees and survey respondents saw in that process. And the first one was just the simple act of asking for money feels a little bit like uncomfortable to most people. I had one interviewee tell me that, you know, even when her parents try to shove $20 in her pocket when she's going back to school, she finds that uncomfortable. You know, so the idea of just having most of your time be about asking people to give you money, so that felt icky in a way. But the larger ick factor that I talk about in the book is this, it's almost related to the second piece of the process. So not only do you have to ask for money, but then you have to accept it. and the large amounts of money that go into a campaign that you would then have to accept. And they felt, particularly from interest groups or from corporations, they felt like this might compromise them. It would compromise their morals or their ethics or their principles or even just their ability to focus on the issues that they cared about. Because logically, if you take a whole lot of money from people, you have to at least think about their issues. It doesn't mean you have to do it. It doesn't. I don't think it felt like outright corruption. But there was something of an ick factor that I thought was pretty rational that my... that these really bright students were seeing.
And you say that both costs and rewards matter greatly to someone considering running for office. Is there a sense that the rewards of serving just aren't high enough for this generation?
Sure. That was the biggest surprise to me in these data. I did not start out with a costs and rewards framework to this research. It was a totally different question I was starting out with. So when I started to look at the data in terms of so many people weren't wanting to run for office, and we often in political science assume that, you know, people do, that that's a worthy goal, that, that people would like to hold office and see that as important. So when I started to question that assumption and talk and think about what were the rewards that people were telling me about, there were some. There were some people who thought that you could get a lot out of running for office and maybe a lot out of serving the public in that way. But on the whole, and I do this kind of very elaborate adding up of all of the costs that people saw and then all of the potential rewards, on the whole, these were about equal or maybe a little behind the zero line for a lot of the people. It meant that the rewards just don't balance out the costs, and that can be fatal to, you know, what we call political ambition, wanting to run for office.
And one of the factors that you put forth was that salaries in these jobs in public service just aren't up there.
Right.
So holding these elected positions, they don't pay that well. And these are Harvard Law School and Kennedy School students,
right,
who could go out in the private sector and make a ton of more money. So how does that factor in?
So this was indeed a factor for a whole lot of people. And interestingly, for me, this is where race came in. The non-white students were much more concerned about what we would call the opportunity cost of a foregone private sector salary. And then particularly in politics, which is a career ladder type of field, except, you know, if you're the president, you can jump in. The current president can jump in and run for president. Most people can't. You usually have to start at the bottom and work your way up from a lower level political office. Those lower level political offices often aren't paid, or they're paid very poorly. And that means that people who could be really high quality candidates might face this large opportunity cost. I found particularly for the Hispanic, Asian American, and Black students in my sample that they were worried about that because they felt this obligation to support other members of their family, not just the children that they had or expected to have, but their siblings or their parents, right? So the financial costs were actually significant.
We're talking with Shauna Shames. She's the author of the book Out of the Running, Why Millennials Reject Political Careers and Why It Matters. Shauna, what does this say then for American politics going forward as politics tries to bring in people who reflect a whole across the spectrum of age and race and gender? Where are we headed?
So the results that I have found about where we currently are somewhat depressing to me, because I'm a feminist and I want to see a more diverse cadre of people in office in terms of race, in terms of age, in terms of gender. So the initial feeling that you might get from, you know, reading my book or even hearing the title is somewhat depressing. But I want everybody to know that because it is that way right now, or because young people seem to have a negative view of politics, it doesn't mean it has to be that way. And I think even in the last couple weeks, we've seen such a surge of interest in politics and such activism that it gives me real hope that a generation that maybe has felt distanced from politics might be coming to understand that the government is not them right here in what we hope is an American democracy. The government is us. And if you don't run for office, other people will, and they may not be who you'd want. So I'm somewhat depressed by my own results, but I am very hopeful that if we can show young people that politics matters and that it can make a difference and make the world a better place, rather than, I think right now they're seeing politics as being the problem. I think it's up to us to show young people that politics can solve problems, and so far we haven't been doing enough of that. I'm hopeful for the future that if we do that better, young people will respond.
We're talking right now with political scientist Shauna Shames about why millennials are shying away from running for elected office and what could that mean for the future of American politics.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a millennial, have you ever considered a career in politics or even just running for local office? Why or why not? What do you see as the risks, the rewards? Do you feel like you could really make a difference if you got elected? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Shauna Shames, author of the book Out of the Running, Why Millennials Reject Political Careers and Why It Matters. She says few people in that younger generation are interested in serving political office, and that's a problem. We're talking about what that could mean for the future of American politics and what could change.
We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think can be done to make politics a more enticing career choice for millennials or for any age group for that matter? If you are a millennial and have run for office, why did you do it? Let's hear from you. What called you to politics? And just what are the implications if we don't get more young people running for office? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's go right away to our callers with Dominic from Madison. Hi, Dominic.
Hello.
What would you like to add? Yes, hi.
Well, I would just like to say that. So I am a Latino male, and I live in Wisconsin. And I think that part of the piece to this is understanding that I do agree. I think that what we're going to see is less career politicians and more younger people getting involved in politics later on, not necessarily as a career choice, but as a sense of obligation to serve the community. So I think the values are going to remain the same to be involved. But what I think is that, I'm involved in a local county park board. And so if we put the emphasis on helping people get involved in the process of governance, that is an important segue. That's, a way to get involved, to gain experience in public administration. Now, that's a different lure of serving your community, what it's supposed to be about. What I think is important, rather than having people to say that, hey, there are wonderful salaries in politics and jump into it because there's a career for you. I'm involved in local governments because, I want to have a direct impact on my community and the community that I live in. So I just think that, expanding diversity to new audiences and bringing new members, because I'm an older millennial, I think is an opportunity for people to get involved rather than for people to look at, jumping into politics as a career.
Shauna?
Yeah, it's such an excellent point, and I love, Dominic, how you talk about serving your community. It turns out that's such an important reward, and if you can make people think that that's what politics is, right, if we could reframe politics as solving problems collectively or working together to make the community better, that suddenly makes people more interested in wanting to run, from what I can tell in the data. And the interesting thing about the salaries, I don't mean to suggest that we should, want people who are wanting to run because of the salary. That's not who I would want either. I want people like you, Dominic. But I think that the low salary as a cost seems particularly problematic when it's paired with this sense of, there's no other compensating reward. for Latinos and Latinas and the black men and women in my sample, especially, it was this idea of helping their communities that would be the greatest reward. But unfortunately, a whole lot of them weren't sure that politics was the way to do that. So that's what I'd love to see, you know, people like you saying that, that, you know, I can help by serving on my local county park board. I think that's wonderful.
Dominic, thanks for your call. Let's go to Jackie now in Ashland. Hi, Jackie.
Hi there.
What would you like to add?
I was just calling in as a millennial who served on my local city council in Ashland, Wisconsin, and previously served on the school board. There's a cohort of younger folks up here who are pretty involved in the political process, partisan-wise and just non-partisan-wise, but it's the giving back aspect. And for if you're familiar with Ashland, Wisconsin, and where we're situated on Lake Superior, we have a really rich history and a growing, aging population. At the end of the day, the next generation of folks are going to be the ones making decisions for the future of the town. And I'm the one who's going to be here, and I want to be able to have a voice and represent the other people in this community to ensure that Ashland is here for another 100 years.
Jackie, I want to ask you, is that your main job, or do you do something else besides being in politics?
Oh, no, definitely. I have a 9-to-5. I work up in Northland College. So I do that during the day, and then I, along with a colleague of mine, he serves as the president of City Council, actually, and he's a year younger than me. So I wouldn't say that millennials are inherently not interested. It's just recognizing the balance and the demands of life. I mean, I know people are tired of hearing about it, but we have student loans to pay. We need to have 9-to-5 jobs. We can't, the demands of being on city council or even school board are a lot. And if you're going to do it well, and, you know, if you can't find that balance between homework and other activities, then how can someone run to be on a county board or a city council when I don't have kids. If I had kids, I don't know how I would do it.
Shauna?
This is exactly what I hear from other millennials that I've talked to. And there are those like Jackie who I think have the inclination, right? I think it's wonderful that you're involved and that you have this understanding that if we don't do this, who does, right? That's a wonderful sense of ownership over one's own government. But boy, the demands of paying rent, that's real. Student loans, it's a real thing. And so I think the best way I can think to get young people to be interested in running for office is just that it has to feel meaningful. Because if you're going to work 9-to-5 like Jackie, and then you have to go to a school board meeting for like 3 or 4 hours in the evening, which is exhausting, right? You really have to feel like it's making a difference. So it's not just that the costs are high, I found, but it's the kind of lack of feeling that the rewards are meaningful that I think is really devastating.
Jackie, thanks so much for calling in. And now David in La Crosse. Hi, David.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. What would you like to add?
It's a very fruitful discussion. I would just like to add, so I've served for just about wrapping up my 4th year on city council over here in La Crosse. And we have other young people that serve on council and on county board too. So I don't see the same, discrepancy between youth and willingness to serve. It's certainly a sacrifice, but it's also certainly rewarding. I mean, I think, I work for Baron Pizza Money on council. So it's the other rewards that you can get out of it. But the larger challenge is, so I also have a master's degree from an Ivy League university. And if I look at this, I survey the political landscape, and what you see is that, if I wanted to go anywhere else, like if I wanted to run for state assembly or state senate, like those seats are locked up. And this is particularly true in the Democratic Party. Not so much if you look at the wider landscape of Wisconsin politics, you'll see that the GOP like elevates its younger leaders, and there's lots of young people in assembly seats who then can transfer onto Senate seats and kind of, build a bullpen. But what happens for us is, if I look at my district, our Senate, our assembly people and our congressional district, they're all in their mid-50s. So we're not really building a bullpen of where can those candidates go. And if I were to choose to run for an actual position that would pay, it would mean literally primarying someone in my own party. So
Shauna, what do you think about career politicians and not building up a base of young people to move in to these positions?
Well, yes, it's all very discouraging. I'm glad to hear from David that he sees a lot of young people. And maybe my conclusions, it seems like they don't hold in Wisconsin, man. This is like, what a great state for young people running, apparently. You guys are doing good. But the idea that the state assembly seats are totally locked up is a really strong deterrent to people who might want to then run for office and then run for higher office. If there's no seat to be had within the Democratic Party, that's very demoralizing, right? This is yet another problem, I think, with the kind of intense partisan gerrymandering that we see, which has been in the past couple decades growing and in protecting incumbents. But what it ends up doing is vastly decreasing competition. And we know that kind of thinking that you could win is one of the greatest incentives that gets somebody to run for office. So it's not just money. I mean, the idea of incumbents almost always win, and there's very few seats where there's not an incumbent already sitting on it, right? That's a demoralizing thing. It goes back to my point about, boy, young people are not dumb here. They're looking at this system that we have set up with intensive partisan gerrymandering, intensive protection of incumbents, and this really weird quasi-corrupt feeling about campaign finance. It's no wonder to me that a whole lot of them are saying, ugh, that's not where I want to spend my time.
Well, Shauna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me.
That was Shauna Shames. She's an assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University, Camden. She's the author of Out of the Running, Why Millennials Reject Political Careers and Why It Matters. And you can leave your comments about this and on the Central Time Facebook page.
Especially if you're a millennial who has run for office, we'd love to hear your story. The Central Time Facebook page.